I want to talk to you today about you being selected. Wow. My sermon title is You Have Been Chosen. Say, I've been chosen. And I want to talk to you about how you have been chosen, but I want to say this right up front because I want you to understand this. Oh, I need to make this distinction. There's a doctrine going around. It's an error. It's not accurate. And the doctrine says that it's got a couple of different names. Some people call it Reformed theology. Some people call it Calvinism. But here's what it says. And well, it says a lot. I don't have time to go into all of it. But one of the things it says, and I need to warn you of it because it is... Well, you just need to know. And what it teaches is it teaches that God chooses those who will be saved and those who won't be saved. And it's kind of like an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Wow. And you know what? You better hope that you're a mo. But here's the crazy thing, and I've done a lot of research recently on this, on Calvinism and what they teach and what they believe. And the reason why it's so insidious is because not only is it crazy that God is going to select this person and not these people, but when you do the research, you're going to find out, here's what they believe. They believe that not only is this person selected to go to heaven, but they believe God selects eeny, meeny, and miny to go to hell. That God predestines people, chooses, and picks people that are going to go to hell. You say, Pastor, how in the world do they get out that out of the Bible? That is a good question. That is a good question. Because, and we'll see it in some of the passages that we get today, is that the Bible says, well, just you just take the most basic text, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, the world, say, somebody say the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that God, not God, that who, whosoever will, you know what I mean? The gospel is preached to everyone, you know, so whoever chooses Jesus Christ chooses life. Does this make sense? God doesn't choose, you know what? God does choose, but he chooses everyone. The blood of Jesus Christ was given to all of us. Now, some people reject God, and some people accept God. Some people reject the blood of Jesus Christ, and some people don't. Amen? But you need to understand, when I'm talking about you have been chosen, I'm not talking about you've been chosen, you know what, for heaven. No. God gives us a choice whether we go to heaven or hell. Yes. Like what one person said, you know what, God, you know what, is not the chooser of heaven or hell. We're the one who chooses. God sent Jesus to all of us that whosoever would, you know what, may accept Jesus. Or whoever wants, they can reject God. How many know you can reject God too? Okay. How many know you can reject God too? But it's not, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know what, Pastor George, what I'm talking about is God chooses you to lead. Somebody say, God's choosing me to lead. Now, we're going to look at some passages and I'm going to tell you some stories. But by the time we're done, I want you to understand your responsibility to your family, your responsibility to Pico Rivera, your responsibility to this church, your responsibility to your wife, your responsibility to your husband, your responsibility to your kids and your grandkids and even your great-grandkids. See, it's up to you to get this world saved. Amen? And if everyone's in your family saved, then get them saveder. Huh? You know what I mean? Now, we understand theologically that, you know what, they can't If they're in the family of God, they're in the family of God. We understand that. But what I'm saying is, how many recognize you can be close to God, but you can draw closer to God? So what I'm saying is, even if you have family members that are saved, you can, you know what, influence them to keep on making good choices and to even make more good choices. Does that make sense? Okay. So I need to clarify that. I'm talking about God has chosen you to be a leader. God has chosen you to lead others out of their mess. Out of their mess. Why? Because look at John chapter 3, verse 7 up here on the screens. John chapter 3, verse 7. Look what it says. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Here's what Jesus is saying. He said, don't trip out. You must be born again. Why? Because everyone is born into corruption. How many of your fathers were messed up? Raise your hand if your father was messed up. A lot or a little, even a little. Yeah, Isaac's being polite and he's not raising his hand. He's showing you honor. But how many know, and my dad was an awesome, awesome, awesome man of God. But I recognize my dad had some faults. See, we're born, the Bible says, of corruptible seed. So, you know, you don't believe me? You take a three-year-old. I remember seeing one time, you know what, I think it was over in the North Sanctuary, but I remember seeing a three-year-old, you know what, and the three-year-old was like getting close to the stage, and you know what, and the father said, hey, no, because he knew where they were going. And I remember that three-year-old looked back and calculated. How many know you, sometimes you can see the just wheels turning? The three-year-old looked back and calculated, let's see, my dad is way back there, and I'm just four steps away from the stage. Heard the dad say no, turned around, and just went right up on the stage. What am I saying? How many know you don't have to teach, a four-year-old, you know, to be unrighteous? Some of you, you shouldn't say that. Come on, man. Can we get real, amen? One of the first things a little baby learns, you know what? Share? Do they learn share? No, what do they learn? Mine. Why aren't they learning? Why is that common? Y'all knew that. That was probably your first word, huh? Because that comes naturally to us. You know what's going on there? It's corruption. See, that's why God said, you must be born again. You're born once and you're born of corruptible seed. So you have to be reborn. Somebody say reborn. In the Spirit of God to be able to go to heaven. Look at John 3:16. You know this. Okay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, God doesn't choose, that's up to you to choose, or not, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. God isn't against anybody. God is for everyone. Amen. That's why he sent his Son for everyone. He didn't come to condemn. He came to get us out of our mess. Watch this. But watch. Look at this next verse. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is, here's what I want you to catch, is condemned. What? Already condemned. Everybody needs Jesus. Until everyone needs Jesus. Why? Because without him, they're already condemned. Why? Because their father was jacked up, and his 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 father was jacked up. That's why when the angels rejoiced, it said, you know what? They rejoiced when Jesus came. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. God's not against mankind. God is for mankind. But it's man who rejects God. It's man who turns its back on God. Is this making sense? Okay. Why is that so important? Because you are the one, you have been given, the Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? You are the one who is to introduce your friends to Jesus. How many would raise your hand and say, I know Jesus? Okay. You ever get somewhere and you're like, you know what? And you have two friends, they don't know each other. You're like, hey, you know what? Ernie, this is Carlos. Carlos, this is Ernie. Right? You ever done that? Okay, so what is your role? Here's your role. You know what? Hey, you know what, Joe? This is my friend Jesus. Jesus, you know Joe. Right? That the Bible says, I don't know my ministry. I don't know my ministry. I don't know my ministry. I know your ministry. So how do you know my ministry? Because the Bible tells us our ministry. That's all of our ministries. Does that make sense? Say, I'm called to lead. That's your position. That's your calling. That's what you need to do. About, this is probably our fourth or fifth year that we did high school and junior high camp. And we've been going to camp for a long time, sending our high schooler and junior hires to camp. And I'm not saying that those camps that we sent them weren't good. I'm not saying they weren't organized. I'm not saying that they weren't Holy Spirit-led and good worship and all kinds of good things, because they were. I'm just saying they weren't as good as our camp. That sounds cocky, huh? I'm just telling you, it's absolutely the truth. It's just on so many different levels. On organization, on safety, and most important, on spirituality. I mean, our camp rocks all day long. Why do you say that? Because I was one of the ones who, and chiefly was the one, because ultimately, you know what, the buck stops here. And so I think Joel and Shayla and my wife thought it would be a good idea to do a camp, do it ourselves. And you know what? And ultimately I said, yeah, that would be a good thing. We got Daryl. He was our first speaker. He was awesome. The camp was, at that point in time, the best camp we had ever had, by far. I would say, not even by far. Here's the funny thing. We're going up to camp, Pastor George. We're going up to camp, and I have Daryl with me. My wife's with me. We're driving up there to camp, and I'm thinking, I have this thought. What are we doing? We don't know what we're doing. We've never been to this camp. We don't know what we're doing. I just had like a 15-minute freak out time thinking, what am I thinking? You don't even know that. I was like, what are you doing? You're running. What are you thinking? Okay, here's the deal. Here's what I was thinking. You know what? We're called to lead. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, we're not. We are leaders. We are called to lead. We are called to show other people how to run a camp of excellence. Can you say amen? We're to lead that we can send our kids to a camp of excellence. Amen. In about 2 weeks three weeks from now, we're going to have our kids' camp. And it is just one night. It's for the little ones, 3 to 8. And I'm just telling you what, it is, I've never seen a little kids' camp done so well with so much excellence, so much fun. It is the bomb. Amen? Wow. So you hire these professional people who've worked like, you know what, all the time in ministry with kids, and you know what, and they come on your campus and they set everything up and they feed them and boom, 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 and that's what you do? No! That's not what we do. You know what? We have gracious ladies, you know what, who came to me and said, why don't we have a camp for the little ones? We got the ones for this size, and we got the ones for this size. Well, some of them are like this size, but but how come we don't have a one for the little ones? And what did I say? I said, let me figure it all out. It's not what I said. Why? Because it's not up to me to figure it all out. See, it's up for me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because I'm the overseer, and say, you know what? The only thing, can you just make sure this and this and this happen? Because I'm, you know what I mean? So I can bring some skill in what I know, But the truth is, on the kids' camp, I can't think of what I came up with except make sure everybody's safe. Huh? What'd you do? I did nothing, man. I just came on the campus when after everything was set up, and I was like, wow, this is cool. I wish we would have had this when my kids were little. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, it's up to you to lead. See, it's up to us to lead. So why don't we lead? Why don't we lead? Well, here's why, to some extent. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be real. How many know sometimes you can learn from the wrong things, looking at it? So I want to look at, you know what Satan comes to us and says to us. Number one, he talks about our past. And he throws that at us. How many know he throws it at you over and over and over and over again? How many have, I won't even ask you. I must ask you. How many have a past that you're ashamed of? You don't even have to raise your hand. Because all of you ought to raise your hand. Because we all have something we're ashamed of. Do we not? When I was younger, when I was Tyler's age, I used to lose my keys all the time. I mean, for years, lost my keys for a long time. But then, years later, I never lost my keys. You know what? I still have people coming to me claiming that I lose my keys all the time. Hello? No, I don't lose my keys all the time. Now, I do some boneheaded things sometimes. Don't look at me with that self-righteousness like you don't know what I'm talking about. No, I do boneheaded things all the time. So, you know what? And Satan wants to just remind you of your past and what you did and how foolish you were, and that's still how you are. No, that's not still how you are. Your past doesn't mean that you can't lead crazy in the future. Can you say amen? But Satan would like to throw that at you and throw that at you and throw that at you. So, you know what? We had a couple kids. Thank God for these kids that even though they had something, prior commitments that they had to be out on Saturday morning. But praise God for the parents who said, we're going to get our kids up there. Can you make sure they get down? We just need them down a little early. I mean, they caught 90% of the camp. Amen? It would be foolish not to get, for 10% to not catch 90%, right? So we had an opportunity, so we said, absolutely, we'll make it happen. And you know what? And we made sure they got home, on Friday night. So Friday night, me and Jonathan drove these kids home. You know what? There's just two kids. Boom, boom, we drove them home. Everything's good. I'm exhausted. Ooh, I'm out. You know what? And I'm sleeping, and the phone rings, and it's Tamara on the phone. She's still up at camp with everybody else. She's like, hey, we got a SOS. I'm what? She says, I don't know where my keys are. She drove one of the vans up. She didn't know where her keys are. I'm like, wow, where'd you lose them? Some of you know where I'm going already, don't you? I'm like, wow, that's a bummer. You know what I mean? So as she was talking, I looked in my bag, and guess what I pulled out of my bag? Yeah, there is no way, huh? Can you believe it? But I like, and then I said this. I like what I said to her. I said, I don't know, honey. Somehow they got in my bag. I tell that story for this reason. I had her keys. I got in the car. I have her keys. I know I have her keys. And I put that she needed for that van to drive it home. I have them in my hand. I make sure, boom, I put them right next to me, in the passenger seat. Somebody say, right next to me. In the passenger seat. Okay. And I'm driving up. And as I'm driving up to the camp, about every 10 minutes, I have this freak out to look for the keys. Okay. And I drive for another 10 minutes. Okay. True story, I must have looked at that passenger seat 30 times on the way from here to Big Bear Lake. 30 times, at least. Okay? That's weird, huh? Okay. Why? Here's why. Here's why. Because I'm thinking, if I get up there to give her her keys and have left the keys back, you know what, in Whittier, then I'm going to have to drive all the way back again to grab the keys to drive all the way back. And I already did this once. Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to say that. Somehow they got in the bag. What's your point? My point is, what am I thinking? I knew the keys were there. What am I thinking? A gust of wind picked them up and flew them out? No, I'm not thinking that. Your mind just wants to always remind you of worst case scenarios. And even though I knew they were there, every 10 minutes I looked again to make sure they were there. How many understand what I'm saying? See? How many ever gone to the grocery store? You know what I mean? And you were asked to get milk. You were asked to get milk. One thing, milk. Milk. You come back, you got stuff. You got Fritos and Cheetos and, you know what, Flaming Hot Cheetos and Puffs and Ding Dongs and Ho-Hos. And you got stuff, amen? And you walk in. I know this never happened to you, George. And you walk, Pastor George, you walk in, and your wife's looking at the bags, and she's like, where's the milk? Right? Here's my point. You know what? Listen, Paul, who persecuted the church, says in 2 Corinthians, he says, I've wronged no man. How can he say that? Here's how he can say it. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. See, it's not about that. It's about you understanding, you know what, that your past is your past. Amen? Your past is your past. And what you did yesterday doesn't mean, because you were selfish yesterday, because you got drunk yesterday, because you got stoned yesterday, because you had an affair yesterday, because you know what, were violent yesterday, because you had a filthy mouth yesterday, because you were immoral yesterday, doesn't mean that God can't use you. And if that meant God couldn't use you, then you take most of the people, then you take all the leaders in the Bible. You take Moses, and he wouldn't qualify, and David wouldn't qualify, and Paul wouldn't qualify, and Peter wouldn't qualify, and on and on and on, all these people wouldn't qualify. No, you qualify. Why? Because the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Amen? Number one, your past doesn't make any difference. Number two, people say, I can't do anything for God because of your ability or your lack of ability. That's what Moses said. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses is telling God, you know what? No, I can't do it. And Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since. I mean, I never could talk right. And I can't do it today. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. You've told me what to do, but let me tell you what, I don't qualify. Here's the thing. You think God doesn't know what you can do and what you can't do? You know, I mean, you've heard this story before, but you know what? My wife, she goes to Michael's and she finds these floral arrangements, and they're $100 a piece, and she wants three of them. I'm like, let's see, what's no in Spanish? Oh yeah, no. I'm like, no. And so I told her, no way. I said, here, I'll give you $100 and you can do, because you know what? I mean, I've been over to Michael's. I'm like, I don't like to tell Tamara, isn't there like this, like you can buy all kinds of the stuff not made up yet? Buy that stuff. I'll give you $100. I guarantee you can buy a lot more of that stuff. Buy as much of that as you want and you make three. I bet you can buy enough stuff. You can, with $100, you can make four of them. Here, I'll give you an extra one. Can I tell you what? Sometimes other people can see stuff in you that you can't even see. Say that you were doing that. You were just cheap, Pastor. You didn't see. You were just cheap. Well, I was cheap. But you know, the truth is, I also knew that she had it in her to do that. And she, you know what? She started, you know, so she bought all this stuff, $100 worth of stuff, brings it all back. You know, she, you know, shoving this stuff in that styrofoam, you know, I'm like, ah, you know, and it's getting later and she's getting more emotional. I could have just bought one and now I got nothing, you know what I mean? Because it looks all wrong. Right? But let me tell you what, but I don't know what time it was, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know what? She wakes me and says, hey, well, I don't know. Actually, I forget. Maybe she woke me. Maybe it wasn't until the next day, but she asked her mom. But anyway, eventually, guess what? She made him beautiful. Gorgeous. She was, years later, she was over doing this Christmas decorating. I don't know. What do they call those? Arch. It's absolutely gorgeous. Somebody walks by her and says, you know what? I wish I could do something like that. And she was able to tell her, you know what, don't ever tell yourself who you are. Let God tell you who you are. Amen. Amen. See, you listen. And Satan would tell you, no, you can't because you don't have this ability. You can't speak well. You can't do it. You don't have that ability. Don't argue with God. Look at this. Look at the next verse. You know what? So the Lord said to him, who has made his mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? God says, it's like Moses. Moses, you think I don't know about your mouth? You think I don't know about your speech problem? I know. You think I don't? Oh, let me get this right. Like, I don't know who to pick. Can I tell you what? God is, here, this is a deep revelation. God is smarter than you. And if he chooses you, then guess what? He knows you can do it. Look at this next one right here. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Don't worry about it. I will empower you to do it. Guys, it's not about your ability. This thought, I can't because I'm not able, is crazy. It's not about your ability anyway. It's about your availability. Amen. Amen. Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Guys, next verse. So the anger of the Lord was kindled. Let me stop here. You know what? When you start arguing with God and telling God that you can't do it, what you're really saying is you won't do it. You know what it is? You really don't trust God that he knows that you're a good pick and you want to argue with God. You know what unbelief is? The Bible says unbelief is a wicked heart. We need to start calling it for what it is. Unbelief is, the Bible says, is a wicked heart. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? And know that he can speak well. I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Can I tell you what? You think that you can't figure it out. God says, hey, listen, there is no excuse. Just do it. And I'll send you some help. You know, it's interesting as you read the story. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out real soon, Aaron's not even talking. You know who's doing most of the talking? You know who's doing all the talking? Moses is doing all the talking. See, God knows what's in you sometimes more than you know what's in you. A lot of times, more than others know what's in you. You know, Van Gogh, you know what, didn't really sell any paintings until after he was dead. Do you know that? Van Gogh. How many would like to have a Van Gogh in your closet somewhere? Amen. Yeah, I would too. Amen. Listen to this. His aesthetic was considered by most people to be reckless and ugly. When art collectors, dealers backtracked the last 10 years of his life to hunt down paintings he gave to his friends. How many would like to be a friend of Van Gogh? Having a gave to his friends, they found that many had been discarded. One was even used to fill the hole of the roof of a chicken coop. See, you know what? God has put things in you, and sometimes you can't see that. Sometimes other people don't even know. I can't tell you how many ideas that I've had, Pastor George, even about this church. And you know what? When I first posed them to people, they said, that'll never work. That won't happen. That can't work. That won't happen. And can I tell you what? God has put dreams in your life, you know what, to fulfill those dreams. And just because other people say, you can't, it'll never work, you can't ever, because how many know, most people are negative anyway. I mean, many people are negative. Can I tell you what? You've got to see, you know what, the greatness in you sometimes before anybody else will see it. And not that you're saying, oh, you're all that, but you understand, in him you live and move and have your being. It's not about you. It's not about your greatness. It's about the great one who lives inside of you. And don't deny that, amen? You know, it's interesting because the Bible says, you know what, supernatural signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. Somebody say, by the hands of the apostles. What were the apostles? Apostles were, notice who Jesus picks as his leaders. He doesn't go to the University of Jerusalem to pick the most, you know, all the rabbis and all the elite and all the educated. He doesn't go there. You know where he goes? He goes to the sea to find a bunch of fishermen. That's where he goes. And who does he find? He finds a bunch of goofballs, does he not? A bunch of retrobates, a bunch of jacked up people. But can I tell you what? Those jacked up people, with the blood of Jesus Christ covering them sin, with the Holy Spirit living inside of them, you know what? They can do great, fabulous, miraculous things. See, I'm telling you, who's called? You're called. Talk to somebody, I won't tell you who because it's none of your business, but talk to somebody just today, and I was telling them about how awesome camp was. You know what? And you know what? And God spoke to them. And that person, you know what? Before camp, you know, before the kids went up to camp, was able to send two kids up to camp. See, here's what I'm saying. You know what? How much did, who is that? It's just some person in this church who said, you know what, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to step up to the plate. It's, you know, I'm not going to look at you or you or you or somebody around me. Get pastor to do it. Let him figure it out. No, I'm going to do something. It's my responsibility. I'm going to make a difference. How many hear what I'm saying today? See, Satan has you looking at yourself and looking at your past and looking at your inabilities. Can I tell you what? You're the one who needs to teach your kids about Jesus Christ. You're the one who needs to teach your grandkids about Jesus. You're the ones who need to, you know what, put them in the car. Just joking. You're the ones who got to put them in the car. Make sure they're buckled, okay? Okay. Get them to church. You understand? See, it's up to us, guys. We're the leaders. We're so busy looking at someone else. Maybe you get there, they're going to do it. No. Notice, when you're trying to pawn off on somebody else the job that God has called you to do, God gets angry. I'm just using the text. I'm just teaching the text. And the text says he got angry at Moses. Could God get angry at us? because we're not doing what we're called to do? God's not a respecter of persons. If he got angry at Moses, why wouldn't he get angry at us? And before you get all, you know, sensified about God being angry at you, understand why he's getting angry at you. Put it in context. The Bible says, if you lose your life, you're going to gain your life. See, this, let me tell you a jacked up lifestyle. A jacked up lifestyle is me, 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 me. I spend all my money on myself. I spend all my time on myself. My life is all about me, and I don't do anything for anybody else ever. That is someone. And you'll see them all the time. And they'll be home. You know what they'll be home? They'll be home watching TV, eating Doritos. Am I telling the truth? And see, God gets angry at that. Here's why. Because you're wasting a life. It's a waste of a life. The best thing you could do is become a server. The best thing you could do is become a giver. The best thing you could do is start to invest. Stop thinking that your life is about, you know what, you know, I'm not saying, you know, sports are bad necessarily. I'm saying, listen, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'll just tell you right up what's going to happen with the Dodgers. I'll tell you right up what's going to happen. They might make the playoffs or they might not make the playoffs. And if they do make the playoffs, they might win in the first round or they might lose in the first round. And if they, I'm not saying that, I don't know, you know what I mean? If they make it to the World Series, you know what? They're definitely going to lose to either the Yankees or the Astros or the Red Sox. That's what's going to happen. Okay, all right, I'll give it to you. You are men of faith. If they made it to the World Series, they're either going to win or they're going to lose. And we'll say, yay, we'll get our Dodger things, you know, the Dodger things, you know, you put in your car, you know, those things, you know, wave little Dodger flags. You'll drive around with your little Dodger flag. Woo! Oh, they won. You know what I mean? And then, you know, 6 months, they'll, you know, whatever, be in third place. Am I lying or am I telling you the truth? All I'm saying is, you only have one life. And God has chosen you to make a difference. God has chosen you to make a difference. I didn't get to this in the first service. My first lie is, you know what, your past. The second lie is your lack of ability. The third lie is, let me get somebody else to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Look what it says. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You should do this. And walk them and shall talk to them when they sit in the house, when they walk by the way, and when they lie down, and when they rise up. Well, with kids, what else is there? You know what I mean? They're either walking around, they're lying down, or they get up. What's God saying? Listen, parents, it's your responsibility. Grandparents, it's your responsibility. You are the leaders. Husbands, all husbands, look at me. You're the ones who are to lead your family. You're the ones who are to lead your wife. Moms, look at me. Grandmoms, look at me. You're the ones who are supposed to raise our kids. You're the ones. You're the leaders. It's up to you, guys. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you might may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Therefore, before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. Listen, God has revealed to you. How many was revealed to you that God, how many would raise their hand and say that there's not only no God like our God, there is really only one God. How many would raise their hand and testify? There is only one God. His son is Jesus. the Holy Spirit, three in one. How many remember what he's going to say and say, you know, Shaka Lakan, that's true. Right? That's what they say in Hawaii, you know, Shaka Lakan, bro. Okay. That's true, right? You didn't know you were speaking Hawaiian, amen? That's what you're saying. Hey, that's true. Listen, God has revealed that to you, and it's your position to tell it to other people. Are you learning something? God picked you to teach your kids, lead your wife. Vote for politicians that will honor and respect the dignity of life and protect the children that are still in the wombs, the most innocent. That's our responsibility. We're the ones. We have a So I'll tell you a story. I'm living in Newport Beach, making some good choices, but making some not good choices. And going to a church, big church. I'm not saying big churches are bad necessarily, but I am saying big churches can be very dangerous because many times there's no accountability. Nobody knows. You know, the big church that I went to, if I sat there, they say, hey, say hi to the person next to you. Hi, you know, introduce yourself. Oh, I'm, you know, and one week is I met Joe. The next week I met Sam. The next week I met Sally. The next week I met Jane, and I never sat. You know what I mean? I never looked at the person next to me and was like, oh, dude, I saw you last week. Somebody say never. So that is, how many know that's not a good thing? There was no accountability in this church. So I'm not saying the pastor wasn't trying too hard to figure that out, but there was just no accountability. I live in a place in Newport Beach, but there was this peninsula, and I hated to go down to the peninsula because there was nothing down there for me, so I hardly ever went. But one day, for whatever reason, I was down at the end of the peninsula, and there was this old-time theater. One of those old-time theaters with the lights, you know what, and they had it written, and they only showed one movie. Marquee, thank you. Big, big marquee. And I look up at it, and it says, Miracle Service this Thursday. Miracle Service this Thursday. And I'm making some good choices. I love God, but I wasn't walking like I should be walking. And I looked up there, and I saw, and I thought, I'm off Thursday. I'm going to go to that. So sure enough, Thursday comes around. I go, you know, end of the, you know, peninsula. I go in, and it wasn't like the theater was packed. There probably was 50 people there or less. And I sat down, and the preacher started preaching, and after the preaching was done, he prayed for the sick. I had gone in there, and I had a kink in my neck. You ever slept on your neck wrong? You know, you didn't get the right pillow or something? And this was excruciating pain. And in that service, I received my healing. Complete. I mean, like, it hurts. Boom, it's gone. Completely. And I went up to the pastor after and introduced myself to him. He introduced himself. He said, I'm Pastor Tom West. And I said, I'm Drew, you know what I mean? And so we talked for a little bit, and he invited me to his church. I started going to his church, small little church. They had services on Friday night, and I was going there for a while. And then Pastor Tom met Pastor Bill. And when those two met, they decided to combine their churches. And I started actually going to Pastor Bill's church. And I was going to Pastor Bill's church in Costa Mesa, Mesa Bible Chapel. And about 2 years later, I talked to Pastor Bill about possibly going to Life Bible College. And he said, that's a great idea, yada, yada, yada. And so I started going to Life Bible College. My junior year, I had a preaching class. And I was preaching about the healing power of God. And somebody, after the service, or after the preaching, came up to me and looked at me and ended up being a real close friend of mine. We're still great friends. But he looked at me and said, you're a faith guy, aren't you? And I smiled and said, I am a faith guy. You know what? I believe everybody ought to be a faith guy. How can you not believe and trust the Bible? You know what I mean? But he identified me as someone who preached faith. And I said, I absolutely preach faith. Okay. And that man introduced me to Pastor Bradford. I didn't learn about ministry in the 4 years I was at Life Bible College. That's not a negative towards them. I'm just telling you, that's not where I learned ministry. I learned ministry in the 6 years that I spent with Pastor Bradford. That's where I learned ministry. And then a short time after I was trained with Pastor Bradford, God called me to Hope Community Church, where I still pastor. Okay, Drew, that's a nice story. What's your point? Okay, I got the point. Let's go back now. How much do you think it cost Pastor Tom to rent that theater out in Newport Beach for a night? My guess, it was probably somewhere in the thousands. Let's say it cost him $4,000. $4,000. Let's say Pastor Bradford thought. Let's say Pastor Bradford thought, or Pastor Tom thought, you know what? What if that was the last $4,000, what he had in his bank account? What if he had been saving that $4,000 for the last 3 years? What if he was going to buy a car with that $4,000? What if, how many know most people don't have an extra $4,000 just floating around? But what if the Holy Spirit told him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have that miracle service. I want you to put that on the marquee. I want you to be bold, put that on the marquee. And what if, during the preaching, he looked out and saw less than 50 people? And what if Satan would have come to him and said, this is a total waste of money. There are 50 people here, and most of these people came from your church anyway. What a waste of money. Can I tell you what? Pastor Tom led. What's my point? Pastor Tom led. The Holy Spirit put that in Pastor Tom's heart. And Pastor Tom, you know what? Figured out a way to make that happen. That I would come by that day and look up and see that. Let me tell you what. That day changed the trajectory for my life forever. Because it was that day that I stopped going to that big box church where there was no accountability. You know what? And then I started going to a small little church where there was total accountability. Then I met Pastor Bratton. Then I met Pastor Bill. You know, Pastor Bill, who introduced me to the Four Square denomination, who introduced me to, you know what, to Life Bible College, who introduced me to my friend, you know what, Pastor Jerry, who introduced me to Pastor Bradford, who changed my life forever. Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. See, what is my point? My point is, you're to lead. And you think, well, I can't because my past, I can't because my ability, I can't. Listen, God has chosen you. You're the one to lead your family. You're the one to lead your house. You're the one to lead your workplace. You're the one. Who's to say that you don't start, you know what, a Bible study up at school? Who's to say that you don't, who's to say that you don't come to, you know what, to somebody? I mean, last week, you know, somebody, anybody, you know what? I sense that, you know what? I need to give some money to help send somebody to camp. Who's to say that's not you?
That's right. Come on. Well, but if I gave money, you know, I mean, that's $245 times two. That's $490. Whoa, I could do some other things with that. Yeah, you could.
And if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying, what do you want to make a difference? Because I'm telling you, you're the man. That's another sermon title I have for this sermon. You are the man. God chooses you. And with all your inabilities, with all your past, with all your hang-ups, with all your stuff, God still, in his wisdom, says, you the man. I pick you. Can you say amen to this? Amen. God picks you. God thinks you can do it. God believes in you. And I believe in you. I thank God that Pastor Bradford believed in me. Amen. Amen? And saw me. Sometimes you don't even see it, but I'm telling you, I see it. I see the leadership skill in you. I understand. You might have been going to this church for a little while. You might not be the most, you know what, you might say the F word every once in a while. Amen? Well, I would never. Okay, praise God. Amen. I mean, if you don't, thank you, Jesus, you don't. That's a good thing. That's a good thing too. Amen? I don't mean to imply that saying the F word is a good thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know what? Stop allowing that to hinder in what God wants to use you mightily. Maybe you do say the F word. I tell you what, you can still send a kid to camp. Amen? Really? That's a paradox, is it not? But I say you can. You can still make a big difference. And can I tell you what? My thought is, you know what? If you just start serving God, you just start focusing on God. You know, sometimes we try to, I'll tell you what, I'm going to step away. I mean it. I'm going to step back, man. I'm not going to do that no more. You know, 30 seconds later, you know, it's like, effing this, effing that, effing this. Hello? Come on. Stop doing this, man. Just start serving God. Man, just get around me and Pastor George, amen? Amen. Just get around Carlos, amen? Yeah. Just get around Pastor Paul, amen? Yeah. Just get around some godly people. Just hang out. Just come to church. Watch, next thing you know, that'll be so far gone. You'll laugh at the time you used to have a problem with your mouth. Why? Because God wants to move you. But see, if God's waiting for perfection for you to serve, who's going to serve on earth? Who's going to serve on earth? See, I say, you know what, get in the game and then let God work on your game. Is that not right? Get in the game and let God work on your game. Amen? I mean, oh, I'm going to start golfing as soon as I'm a good golfer. You know what I mean? As soon as I'm good, then I'm going to start. I'm going to be a bowler, you know. I'm going to start bowling when I'm a good bowler, you know what I mean? It's not going to happen. Get in the game. Watch what God will do. If God has said something today that has ministered to you, if you've thought, you know what, if God said, you know what, to you, I'm going to lead my family. Maybe some of you are thinking, man, I need to do this. I need to be involved in church. You know what I mean? I mean, what are we supposed to do? You know what I mean? How can I tell you what? I'm not supposed to. What am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Supposed to run back there and get the sound, run back, you know, ooh, let me, ooh, you know, mics need to be turned up. Oh, let me run back there. Let me get the sound. Ooh, let me get that. Oh, no, wait, I need to fill these. I need to fill it because everybody needs these for their coffee. I got to fill the coffee. Oh, the napkins. What about the napkins? You know what I mean? Ooh, no. I need to, let me do the chairs. Ooh, I got to, ooh, this chair's out of place. Ooh, no, get out of here. You don't know how to play though. Let me play the, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know, and you know, can you imagine? You ever see these people and they're one man bands? You know, they got the thing and, you know, they're doing the, you know, a tambourine, the banjo, you know what I mean? It's in harmonica. Exactly. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And the whole time that I'm up there trying to do all that, you know what? We have people that are called to the soundboard. We have people that are called to, you know, fill the cup. And this stuff is important. It's all important. How many came in, and when you came in, the seats were, how many of you can imagine you came in and we just had the chairs stacked, you know what I mean? You said, hey, this is like in and out, you know, do it yourself, you know what I mean? You know, you get the Coke and you fill it up yourself, you know, hey, we got a concept, you know, get your own seat, put it where you want. Craziness. How many know somebody put those seats where they are? Somebody vacuumed this floor. Somebody cleaned those windows. For me, when I was growing up, my dad taught me to love Jesus. See, somebody. And I say, God picks you. But God picks you for your family. God picks you for your, you know what, that you would minister to your wife, that you would minister to your kids. Maybe some of you kids are in families that your parents are saved. God picks you. Maybe your parents are saved, but they're barely saved. God picks you. Maybe for someone, you know what? It's just a choice of making. And Satan has told you, you can't because of your past, because of your inability. You know what I mean? Maybe you got issues. Well, join me. Amen. You know, somebody noticed I'm not the best reader in the world. If somebody noticed that, see, you're being gracious to me because I know you notice. But Satan is not going to get me to not do what I'm called to do because, you know what, I flunked the Evelyn Wood speed reading thing. Amen? I mean, oh well. Sorry, Evelyn, you know what? Who cares? Because let me tell you what, God doesn't care. Matter of fact, Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. See, even those things that you think are holding you back are just a witness to say, God will use anyone. So, who am I speaking to today? Who wants to raise your hand and say, I'll lead. I'll lead my family. Put your hands down. I hear God saying something. For some of you, you know what? Your husbands aren't as godly as they should be. And you feel like, hey, they should step up and they should play that role. And I understand delegated authority. I understand that. But I would say, you know what? Try not to be too critical of your husbands. And try to just lead by example. Because your kids still need an example in the household. Don't give up on your husbands. And keep on praying for your husbands. I don't know who that's for. That's okay. Let's raise our hands again. If you had heard something God spoke to someone. Father, you see the hands that are up. You see the hands that are up, God. We thank you that you've called us to lead. You've called us to lead our household. You've called us to lead in our church. This is our church. You've called us to lead. You've called us to give. You've called us to be part of the financial responsibility. You've called us. This is your calling. You've called us to help send kids to camp. Start making a difference. Start doing what we need to be. Start being faithful and tied. You called us to do these things, God. And we thank you with your help. We see ourselves as a leader. Somebody say, I am a leader. Somebody say, I am the leader that God has called. And I will step up to the plate. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 How many glad you came today?